This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine.
So Graham Ashton, Chief Commissioner Victoria Police, has joined us, and Brett Curran, who's the Assistant Commissioner Equality and Inclusion, is also with us. Good morning, gentlemen.
Yeah, good morning, Macca.
Good morning, Macca.
How are you both?
Yeah, good, thanks. Looking forward to getting families together at Christmas and all having a safe Christmas and New Year. That's our big focus at the moment.
Is there a barbecue planned at the Ashton household?
Yeah, got a baked ham going in, which I'll be glazing.
Yes.
Smoked, of course.
Yes.
Yeah, a leg of lamb and a few chooks. Got about 20 people, actually. So
wow.
Should be a busy day and hopefully there's no fires and I'll be there.
Yeah. And you, Brett?
I'll be going up to my sister's in Ballarat, so that'll be good.
Nice.
Yes. Brett, we do need to congratulate you on your appointment.
Yes, it's a great appointment.
Your appointment has not gone unnoticed in the media, let's say.
No, I've tried to fly under the radar, but yes, it got a bit more. It was a shame, really, because Libby Murphy, who was our first ever road policing assistant commissioner female, and my portfolio's gender equality, was a shame that there was more focus on me than Libby, because she'll do a great job driving down the road toll and keeping people safe on our roads. But
so is this a new role, an Assistant Commissioner for Equality and Inclusion?
The title's new, but you'd recall that we had the Verioc review into our treatment of women over the decades and other groups. And it Luke Cornelius was appointed by Graham to answer that first report, and he did a great job initiating our role, and part of that was working out what the command was going to be, and we've changed our name from Verioc Response to over to Gender Equality and Inclusion. So we'll focus mainly on gender equality because that's still a major issue. We still have, you know, less than 40% female representation across the board, and in our middle management, upper management, we're still down below 20%. So we've really got to drive that up. We've got to fix that, and we really encourage women in particular to join Victoria Police so that we can get that 50-50 target that we're aiming for.
I know I can't speak on behalf of our community, but what I can say is that in my observation, the GLOWs, as they're affectionately known, the Gay Lesbian Liaison Officers, are very affectionately regarded by our community and well-respected.
Yeah, they do a great job really right across the state and have done for a long time. And as Brett said, we've had the sort of guidance of Verioc now for 4 years, but now we're sort of flying solo. And Brett's piloting the plane. And we've still got a critical friendship with Verioc, which is great, but we've got to chart our own course now and really knuckle down over the next few years to really consolidate on some of the gains we've made. And it's a really important time for the command, really.
And Graham, it's been a big year for our community. Yeah. I mean, there's been your apology, for example. There was the incident in Collingwood, the Hares and Hyenas incident. And, of course, this LGBTI discrimination report. What are your reflections on all of that, and where do you think we're going?
Well, I've had some positives, obviously, with we were able to make that apology to community, which was I thought was really important. I really wanted to do that before I finished as the Chief Commissioner. I thought it was a really important statement to make. And I thought we were really well supported through that, which was great. And of course, the downs with the stuff we had around Hares and Hyenas, which we're still waiting for the report from that from IBAC. I think it might end up now with winter, Christmas and New Year, it might end up you know, it could be end of June or early February before we hear from them. So we're still waiting for that outcome. But I think the also the release of the report, which looked at the prevalence study we did around the experiences of LGBTI employees, was very interesting as well, because it started to reinforce, well, it did reinforce what we already knew was happening across equality in Victoria Police, and we've got a lot of areas, particularly around disability as well, to really focus on. And so Brett's sort of got that challenge now of making sure that whilst gender will still be a leading thing here, we've got to bring along the other areas of equality with this.
Yes.
Because there's a lot to do. So a busy year, but I'm really optimistic about what's coming forward.
So Brett, how about you give us a sense of what, you know, your top two or three priorities might be for next year?
I think the main thing is that is to engage the disengaged, I suppose, is the way I'd put it, and that's probably, you know, that's probably a broad issue across community. But in VicPol, it's just about being able to explain to people what to look out for when things are happening. So people, you know, some people use the term bystander. I don't think people are bystanders. I think if they see something wrong, they'll do something. Mm. The trick, I think, is to explain to people what the signs are that something's wrong. So if someone's being harassed or discriminated against, what they might see from the person who's subject to that, that they can take action and then help them. Because it's, as we all know, when someone's being harassed or discriminated against in particular, it's very hard for them to sometimes trust anybody. And but if the workforce is well educated, yeah, and informed and can see those signs, they can step in quickly and amend that. So
is that a training program? What does that look like? How do you do that?
I think we do training, and I think that's very important. But I think also it's for me going out and listening to everybody, trying to understand not just the perspective of people who are subject to poor behaviour, but people who just don't recognise it. And sadly, that's true. You know, I think almost the overwhelming majority of people in all walks of life are very good and kind. They just don't see things sometimes.
So that's your first priority. Yep. What's your second?
Well, the second priority is I've got to select a number of new staff, because part of the command is growing. So we've got a great team there, but we've got to supplement that so that we can go out and do that work, which is A, to do that listening that's been going on, but do further listening, and then B, deliver on our outcomes framework to make sure that we really meaningfully address what VERIOC raised. So there's predatory behaviour, we want to stop that.
Yep.
There's harassment, we want to stop that. But then also we want to make sure that every person who thinks about joining Victoria Police only makes that decision on the basis that, I don't really want to be a cop. Not that I don't think it'll be a welcoming environment. So that's my focus, is to have everyone in the community just look and say, that'd be a really good place to work. And it is a great place to work.
Before Makarrar comes in, we were actually reflecting on this very issue earlier on this morning, and talking about the challenges that first responders have to deal with. And first responders are often dealing with very difficult situations and cases. And that, of course, has a massive impact on workers' mental health.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's been a lot of work done into, you know, ambulance, police, you know, fire attendants, yep, and so forth. Are you seeing this as an issue in your space? It's probably a question for you, Graham.
Oh, yeah, definitely in our space. It's a big issue. It's, you know, we've got so many members at the moment that are experiencing difficulties with mental health, mm-hmm, through a range of issues, but a lot of it's around attendance at trauma and workplace issues. It continues to grow, but we have been focusing very heavily on it. We did a prevalence study to look at how broad it was, and we got some great recommendations, which we've been implementing over the last 4 years. Pleased to say that the amount of police members reaching out for support has increased about 90%. So we are dealing with the stigma issue, which, yes, is the big thing in policing, yes, is that, yes, stigma. It's community-wide, but when people come into the police academy, they're told, you're the person in control, you need to take control of the situation, deal with the person and help people that are dealing with issues. You've got to be the coper, and then when you find you're not, the culture is is anti-speaking up. So
it's hard for individuals to actually admit that they might have an issue or have a problem, and that then becomes a barrier to help seeking, of course.
And, of course, once you do seek help, we've got some quite good arrangements now to provide that support. So we think we're putting those good building blocks in place now, but, gee, it's an emerging and constant issue for us.
So I think, you know, Graeme, we know that we're speaking with Tony Walker from Ambulance Victoria a bit later, and, you know, it doesn't seem a day or a week goes past where there aren't more paramedics graduating. And I'm thinking, well, you know, there's got to be so many more of them. But the reality is that a lot of paramedics are retiring or are off, you know, with mental health issues. And I know it's the same in Victoria Police. In terms of getting, you know, police members to speak up about it, I know how difficult that is, but, you know, when people are entering the police force, is this part of you talking about this now at the police academy to say, you know what, you need to actually put your hand up. If stuff's not going right, you need to put your hand up. You can't keep it in. Is that part of the training now?
Yeah, big time. We've changed that. It's one of the main areas we've really adapted to, Macca, is making sure that our recruits are spending a lot of time in training, mm-hmm. actually to thinking about their resilience,
okay.
self-awareness, and understanding by actually hearing from people that have been impacted and talking about the sort of impacts you can be subjected to, by starting to understand what's their toolkit, what works for them, because everyone's different.
Yeah,
everyone will have different ways in which they deal with issues. And so understanding yourself, understanding what works for you, and then building that resilience model is a really important part of being a police officer these days. And so we are drumming that in from day one, really, into the recruit training.
Because, look, you know, you very courageously took some leave to, you know, to reset and to, you know, to deal with the really hard issues that, you know, as the chief you had to deal with. And I thought that was very courageous that you were public about that. It is difficult, isn't it, for police officers and first responders to talk about this, you know, to say, well, actually, I'm not coping with this.
Mm.
And, you know, there are extraordinary levels of help. But, you know, yourself and Brett, what do you say to, you know, police officers? You know, what, you know, is there a key thing that you say to them about this? I know it's in the training and everything else, but, you know, what do you say to encourage them to step up and, you know, and talk about when they're having difficulty?
Well, it's all about, to me, it's all about leadership. So it's just leadership right across the force. So yep. People have got to be having the conversations. So what I say is have those conversations with your peers, have those conversations with the people that are working for you. It can be as simple as, are you okay? But have the confidence mm-hmm. to have a literate conversation
yep.
about people's mental health and how they are travelling. And so for members, if they see that happening, they'll be more likely to speak up. So what I'd say to people...
demonstrate it up the tree.
Demonstrate it,
well.
Yeah, lead it.
I would have thought, Macca, having a role like Brett's role
yes.
actually is a very clear indicator and a message of support to the workforce.
And Brett, you know, what do you say to, you know, officers? I mean, you know, both of you, you know, are in force command and, you know, but you're also, you know, operational in a lot of ways. You know, when you're actually seeing, you know, your members out there, Brett, you know, what do you say to them? Do you initiate the conversation sometimes or...?
Absolutely. I've had a number of conversations, you know, since I went back to VicPol on exactly that. You see people, you see they're struggling, and I think the main thing is that if you say to people, if you get help early... You can get better quickly. Now, I'm not being glib and saying that, you know, that'll be the solution to everything. But I think also part of my role is that all workplaces are genuinely supportive. So you can feel like you're being supportive, but there can be barriers that people don't feel that they can come forward because of other issues. So that's why I think this gender equality and inclusion fits right in with the leadership we need to show around other things like mental health or just people feeling, you know, happy and safe at work. So, yeah, if you're a first responder dealing with a critical incident, you don't want to then be worried about whether or not you're supported by your colleagues if you are struggling. So, you know, whether it's because of gender or your sexuality or whatever. It's
just
you don't need those other things impacting on you. You just need to know that you've got the support to do your job. And often you do, but you mightn't feel that way. And that's important part of leadership is to actually display that often to people.
Because, you know, you all wear the same uniform.
We do.
Like, that's, you know, you all wear the same uniform, the same
rules. But with different badges and stuff.
Oh, I know. There's lots of... I've always wondered, what's the other one, Graham?
The crown. That means that you're the boss.
You're the boss?
Yeah, well, when you become an assistant commissioner, you get what's called the cross swords, which is that one you can see there. And then as you sort of move up from assistant commissioner, deputy commissioner and chief commissioner, then those, the other bits of it sort of change.
So there's no more? You can't get another one?
Not unless I have a chief commissioner.
Oh, okay.
I don't think there's any plans for that at this stage.
Now, I just wonder, Brett, so let's fast forward 12 months.
Yeah.
You know, you'll have been in the role of gender equality and inclusion for 12 months. What would you like to be able to hang your hat on that you've achieved? What's something that you're going to be able to measure or that you'll be able to get a good feel for in 12 months' time?
Well, we've got our outcomes framework that'll be part of that. But, I mean, the main thing will be that when we do monitor how safe people feel at work and how happy they are at work, that's improved, that it's on a way up. The second thing, which is that we just drive those figures up to get that balance between men and women in the Victoria Police. So, you know, getting towards that 50% will be great. And we were high-fiving at command the other week when we had a 40% male-female split in the academy, and you know that's not even half. So, so we've got to get that up. And so they're the two things that I want, is that when we do survey the workforce, that sense of feeling safe and happy at work is improving. That's what I'll hang my hat on.
And Graham, to yourself, this is your final year as chief commissioner. What do you see as being your sort of top one or two priorities before you are hanging your hat up?
Months.
Well, certainly for me, we've been on a transformation in terms of modernising what Victoria Police does. We've had a completely changed our whole operating environment in terms of our IT systems, our training, right through education, the equipment that our police now use with things like body-worn cameras, mobile devices. They've opened up the police assistance line for non-emergency calls, the vehicles we're driving. We've done a full modernisation. So what we're starting to do now, having finally we landed our enterprise bargaining agreement.
Yes, congratulations.
I was going to ask you about that.
That was great. So now we're able to focus on what we're calling service delivery reform. So it's no good modernising and then just operating the same way. So the next few years for us will be all about service delivery reform. And so for my next 6 months, for me, will be about mapping that out, getting the community input into that, as well as sort of seeing what those building blocks we need to put in place look like for that next few years. And if I can give that a kickstart, I'm very keen to do
that. Great. We're nearly out of time. I want to, again, congratulate Brett on your appointment, and we look forward to talking to you on air again regularly about how this is progressing.
We expect you to have a direct line to us, Brett.
That'd be great. I'm very happy to do, and you can hold me to account on what I've said today that I was going to do, as Graham will.
And
fantastic.
And for Graham, you know, your final 6 months, you know, I want to thank you, you know, for the apology and the openness you've shown towards us, making yourself available. My final question is, day two after retirement, what are you going to be doing?
I have no idea, Macca.
That's a long way off. There's a lot to be done between now and then.
You need to plan.
Yeah, that's what everyone says, but I haven't done anything. I'll get up and wonder what I'm doing, I think.
Yeah,
because the phone won't ring.
Like me, get up and wander around and go.
No, the phone won't ring. Yeah. That's exactly the case.
No, the phone will only ring when someone wants to pin something on you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
thank you to both of you for coming into the studio this morning. That was Police Commissioner Graham Ashton and newly appointed Assistant Commissioner for Gender Equality and Inclusion, Brett Curran. Thank you to both of you for coming.
Thank you, and thanks for your lovely baked treats again.
Cheers, a pleasure.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.